The Young Turks Masterclass.
In our inaugural season of YT Masterclass, we have joined hands with Matrix Partners India, part of the Boston-based venture capital firm that manages $4 billion in assets across the United States, China, and India. Matrix Partners India was founded in 2006 by founder of Bazi.com, Avnish Bajaj. With a focus on startups in the consumer tech, B2B, enterprise, and the fintech space, Matrix Partners India has $700 million under management. Over the years, the founder-first philosophy has come to define their approach to investment and managing their portfolio of startups, which include Ola Cabs, Practo, Quikr, Cloud9, Daily Hunt, LimeRoad, and Mswipe. On this podcast today, we bring you the story of Suchi Mukherjee's e-commerce marketplace, LimeRoad. Founded in 2012, LimeRoad was focused on women's fashion from day one, but it has recently expanded to men's and kids' wear space. Suchi is also looking to aggressively build a strong brick-and-mortar presence and has opened the first LimeRoad branded store in Surat, Gujarat this year. The company has so far raised $50 million in three rounds of funding from Matrix Partners, Tiger Global, and Lightspeed. Today, Suchi Mukherjee is in conversation with Matrix Partner India's founder and managing director, Avnish Bajaj. What made Matrix Partners the perfect choice to kickstart this series is their founder's first approach. To tell us more about this philosophy, joining us today is Avnish Bajaj, founder and managing director of Matrix Partner India. And to bring us insight on the founder in the founder's first approach is Suchi Mukherjee, founder and CEO at LimeRoad, one of Matrix's portfolio companies. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today. And of course, I must mention that we have a bunch of entrepreneurs who are a part of this discussion and will be taking this conversation forward with them in just a bit. But before I start with Suchi or with them, Avnish, let me kickstart this conversation with you. What's exactly founders first? What is this philosophy all about?
I didn't know I would have to answer it on television, so I would have thought deeper about it. So if you look at investing, it's if I had to summarize, it's about backing people more than anything else. And in our business, I was an entrepreneur myself when I started investing. There was a lot of thinking about what business to invest in, what idea to invest in. And if I look back and look at my own success or success of firms globally, I reached the conclusion, at least for us, that we would back founders over markets or businesses. So we believe it's founders first and founders last, and everything else kind of follows.
Suchi, as I said in my introduction, we have you in this conversation to give us an insight on the founder part of it. You're one of Matrix's portfolio companies, and I'm sure you would have had to go through the paces with them. And did you get that sense that they were betting more on you over the idea of LimeRoad?
She better have. I had no idea what she was going to do. Frankly, no.
Okay, so you know, if you're a founder, what does it mean to have a great VC on your side? It means two things, at least to people like me. One is you have a year when you need it. Two, you're left alone when you don't. And I think Avnish does that extraordinarily well. And the beautiful thing about this relationship with Matrix and Avnish in particular on my board is that I will always seek his suggestions and views. And I think he's gotten over the point that he does not get offended if I don't execute on it. But I will come back and tell him.
There was a point when he got offended.
Most of the time she doesn't agree with it. And I don't get offended. In fact, we were just chatting earlier today. And I have learned this, by the way, having been a founder myself.
Yeah.
It's actually a little bit more challenging to, it's, you may think it's easier to be founders first, but it's actually more challenging. Because you think you know. And then you have to realize that if you're really backed a founder who knows, you have to back off. I gave two examples of situations where both me and our co-investor, who we have a great relationship, we felt a certain way. And she said, you guys are wrong. And
what
I think founders.
That?
Why don't you hear your side of that?
All right. So in the very early days, there was a big conversation, particularly at the time China. There were these class of companies that were doing really well when the back end was of a particular type. These were more referral type models, right? And we had a very long conversation on that. And you know, I came back and I actually really respect Avneesh for this. He sent me to China. And he said, please go. And he kept harassing me until I went, which was a great thing. You want to respect people who force you to learn, all right? So I went and I came back and I said
what
that I wasn't
going to do it. What was the agenda for you to go there? Was
just to learn, to look at these companies that were growing really well.
No possible collaborations.
No, not collaboration, but because you can almost, see, we are all in business of managing uncertainty, whether as an investor or as a founder. If there is some place where you can go and get some forecast of what the future is going to look like, you should do
it. It's just pure learning. And so we went and we looked at these companies and I came back and I said, actually, I actually think this will implode. It turned out like that. We didn't move. We had a lot of debate, discussion, and we stuck to our...
And this was in the early days. And then there was another instance where, and that's where we would rather not name the companies. There were two or three companies in India that were making a lot of noise. And their numbers, basis, whatever, we get a lot of data, were looking much steeper trajectory of growth than LimeRoad.
Yeah.
And Suchi would actually tell us, this is not real. Meaning, not that the numbers are fake, but that the way the model is working is going to implode. It's, for example, if either it could be highly discounting driven.
Right.
Or it could be that the vendors are not getting paid, or something is going on, right? We invested in 2012-13 when there was a bust.
Right.
She came back to India and I actually remember sitting at lunch with her and said, you are giving up a same thing I had done like a few years ago, but like why would you want to make the same mistake? You're giving up a great job. There is nothing happening in e-commerce. What is this idea? Why do you want to do this?
This and is a former entrepreneur talking, by the way.
But it was partly also a test.
Okay.
Right? It is partly also
so
a
point,
test.
Point notes to be taken by all the startups here.
Yeah.
If this is like some bit of reverse psychology that investors play with
but
you at
know,
some point.
And it is not as much of game playing. It was truly how I felt. Okay. I felt cynical.
Right.
I felt cynical. I was cynical at that stage and I gave my cynicism to her. And then this women are not even on the internet.
That's
what are you
right.
going to do?
Women are not on the internet. That's
women
the big
are 13%
thing.
Of the internet. Yeah. What are you smoking? Seriously. And 45 minutes later, I walked away fully inspired saying, I don't understand what she's doing, but I'm going to invest
so
in
it. So what was that pitch, Suchi? Because that's going to
no
be a good
pitch.
No, takeaway. But I'll tell you, I'll tell you two things. One is, Avneesh was investing in a founder whose kids and husband had still not moved back. And he said to me, he said to me several times in that process, I have never invested in somebody who doesn't even live in this bloody country.
Every rule was getting broken.
Yeah.
She's in, you know, well, fortunately, we hadn't invested in a lady till then, so the first one. Moving from a different market and not knowing the market, like it was like, but you know, the best investments are when you break the rules. So,
and Avneesh called me one day, and I was, I said, Avneesh, I'm driving. I was in Delhi. My kids hadn't moved back yet. And then I said, I'll call you back. And then I called him back and he said, phew, I'm now, I now think we made the right decision. Your driving in Delhi means you've come back to India.
You're Indian enough.
You can deal with India. I'm just feeling so much better. I do remember that.
One of the many tests that Avneesh had laid out for you.
There were no female users on the internet. There were like 10-15%. Everywhere in the world, shopping was dominated. FMCG, stores. I was going into Kirana stores. Most of the people who are doing the shopping are women. Someday they were going to get educated. They were going to come on the internet. There was no stopping that tide. It was just a matter of timing. And
that was the pitch.
That was the
you
pitch.
You just heard it. Because that's when I, and then this thing came out, what just came out.
So why we kind of got, you know, and behind the scenes of what made Avneesh bet on Suchi. Let me ask you, Suchi, what made you go to Matrix Partners? What is it that made you choose this investor over anyone else?
See, the thing with Avneesh was very simple. He was an entrepreneur. And then he became a VC. And he was an entrepreneur who'd done pretty much the same journey as I had done.
Right.
He'd gone abroad. He'd done a bunch of stuff like investment banking, consulting, stuff like that. He came back. He chucked all of that. He came back. He built something.
Right.
He understood what platforms meant because, you know, he sold Bazi to eBay eventually. So he'd seen the grit, the grind, the frustration, and now he was a VC. And all I could expect is that you know he would be able to teach me a bunch of things.
We went through a very hard labored negotiation.
Right.
Because she's very seasoned. She knew what she was getting into. And I would say the reason we still got through to the other side, and I would say excitedly, was because the nature of the interactions, and not just her and me, you know, there's a co-investor,
yeah,
Bejul of Lightspeed. So the nature of the discussions used to be a lot of disagreements without being disagreeable, right?
Mm.
And very respectful. I don't think in this group we have ever lost, lost the tone of voice or lost our temper or any of that.
Right. Common questions that investors are asked. A, of course, how do I raise money? But the other one is, how do I stumble upon a big idea? Mm. You know, I think most people imagine that they are just going to be sitting one day and a big $1 million idea is just going to fall on their lap. I'd like you to quickly, take us over how you landed on your big idea and what was that one big vision that you had?
You have to fundamentally believe in one big event or trend or something that must happen.
Right.
Because if it didn't happen, the laws of physics would overturn.
Hmm.
For me, the thing was that women would get on the internet.
There are a lot of what we in our own lingo classify as information-based businesses, information-based entrepreneurs, and wisdom-based entrepreneurs.
Mm.
Information ones are that are reading about stuff externally, and I also sometimes, I'm an MBA, so I can call them that. I call them MBA entrepreneurs, right? Disparagingly, because it's like, have you, or consultants, versus experiential entrepreneurs.
Mm.
They should say, what are the biggest problems I face today that are yet unsolved?
Mm.
Or they should say, what are the biggest problems around me that people are facing? Like, I can tell you from my house, if I were to say what are the biggest problems, my wife would probably say managing the staff is still a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is there any internet-based solution? I don't know. But could there be a massive service which is on-demand? Mm. If a staff is going on holiday, Ola equivalent, hit the button, you get a very qualified person to come home. There's an opportunity. I can tell you an idea right now.
Yeah.
So, about the problems.
Yeah, but I would add one thing. You think about a problem and then you have to do a passion test.
Mm. So you've hit the big idea and now you're talking about this test. So I want to ask you, as entrepreneurs, what's the best way to, say, pursue that idea? Should you just keep that idea to yourself and work, just put your head down and work towards it? Or should you grow a thick skin and go out there, discuss your idea with several people, get opinion, get feedback, spot the landmines and then take it forward? What's the best approach?
So I think the first thing is you have to look at yourself at the mirror, and every day you have to still be in love with the idea in the morning. And it has to persist.
Right.
There has to be something linked deeply to your value system.
That makes you want to keep going.
That makes you want to do it 10 years from the time you decide to do it. Because it takes 10 years to build a beautiful world-class business.
Right.
It will take that much time. Mm. So you've got to have that. So that's number one. And the second thing is, you've got to believe that ideas are a commodity.
Right.
What differentiates the great from the also-ran is incredible execution.
Right.
You cannot, I don't know, Avnish, if you think differently.
So you said that you'd have to be in love
with the idea. I came here, I spoke to a CA. He looked at me and he said, you're a woman, you never lived in India, you want to build a business, go back. He said that to me.
Yeah.
So many people said, are you nuts? There are no women on Indian internet space. What's wrong with you? I spoke to my mentor, who's Michael Van Swy. I said, Michael, everybody's telling me this. He said, now is a good time to join. When everybody is saying yes, it's already too late.
And it's discovered, right? So just coming back, the first option is the wrong option. It has to be the second, right? Which is, so let me just give a little bit of framework that may be helpful to the viewers. Operate at the intersection of passion, skill set, and opportunity.
Mm.
Okay, if you're getting an idea, that means you've thought about an opportunity.
Right.
Okay. Do you have the skill set for it?
Mm.
And I'll give an example of that. If you're building a AI data analytics kind of a business, but you are a commerce graduate, you don't have a skill set.
Mm.
Now, either you better co-found it with somebody who does, because you've figured you have the opportunity there. Or it is something that you should think a little bit harder about. And then the passion. We invest behind the intersection of passion and skill set even if we don't believe in the opportunity. There's a company we did that with. It's called Ola. So we went and did all the survey of the taxi market.
Mm.
And we are very good with doing all these theses. And the theses.
We know now.
And we said, this is a very crappy market. We should not invest in the taxi business. We had met every company. And then we met Bhavish. And I said, how are you going? 99% of the business of Ola at that time was telephone based. It was like Meru, Elio, any of these companies. And it was also, I said, how are you going to make money? This is a very crappy business. He said, come to my office. He went to his office, which was in those days in Powai. And there were these heat maps. By the way, people think that this was a copy of the Western knockoff. He didn't even know about the Western knockoff, Western company at that point. And there were heat maps. There was load balancing, everything. And he's like, this is how this thing will make money, because the cabs run, they don't know where the business is, they don't know where the demand is. Point being, the founder created the opportunity.
Right.
Facebook was not the first social network.
True.
MySpace was the first social network. Friendster was the second social network. Facebook is the $700 billion company. The founder created that opportunity.
All right. So that's probably why the founder's first approach, right? So no matter how great your idea is, at the end of the day, Matrix Partners is going to be investing in that founder. So guys, let me open this out to you. What are you more attached to? Are you also betting on yourself or your idea? What do you feel about this entire philosophy?
Yeah, I'm Akash Bhatia. I'm the CEO of Infinite Analytics, an AI platform for customer acquisition and customer retention. I would weight both of them unequally, but I would say that it's the founder first, followed with the idea.
Mm-hmm.
But ideas, like you said, are dime a dozen, and it's also the execution that matters. And your idea will change every single day, every single month.
It's a very interesting. I would love to invest behind all the successful ideas. Forget the founders, right? It doesn't work like that. So I have debated this a lot with people who are much more experienced than me. She's been in business 6 years. I think the business is taking off now. We have seen number of cycles of ups and downs. What's been constant? The founder. Because they
it
are
has
the ones
to be
who,
founders. And when you're putting that much trust in a founder and you're aware of that, what do you do when you make a mistake or there is a miss? Suchi, is there any example of
Suchi
that you
doesn't
can
make
say?
Mistakes.
Suchi doesn't make mistakes. What would you say is one of the biggest mistakes as a founder that you've made during your LimeRoad journey?
There's some people who didn't scale. I should have made a decision about them sooner. You often, in the heat of execution, foolishly, I think, believe, in retrospect, by the way, that, oh, if they go, then there's going to be a big hole. Trust me, 100 times out of 100 times, hopefully you don't have to do it 100 times, but each time, sooner you take the decision, faster it is, better it is for everybody.
And that is a very good segue to talk to all the other startup founders who are with us right here, building the right team. That is so essential. I think that almost comes in the priority list next after having a passion for the idea and having tested that, is building the right team. Do any of you want to add to that?
The challenge we faced is when you start and you aren't funded, and we aren't yet, it's attracting that talent, because you're not going to be paying them through the roof, and that isn't the opportunity. But it's to prove to them that either your idea or your infrastructure is inspiring enough. It's showing them the vision of where you can see, and that goes back to founder first.
Right.
Because it is them then investing. It is also those people and those employees and your teammates investing back in you, having that faith that they're not wasting them time in that journey that you're taking them on.
Isn't that a good litmus test?
No,
when
absolutely.
You're not funded and people
absolutely.
Are joining you, believing in you and the idea?
And I would just tell you one thing, that one of the questions we ask ourselves is, does the founder sell well? Does the founder sell well to investors? Does the founder sell well to potential employees? Will they be able to get followership? Do they have, and you know what we do? We go back to their college. We check with their college people saying, did this person, because sometimes people have it, you see it in the college. So that's the kind of stuff, because you're right. You have to get those first few people
that's
on.
That's some crazy background check you guys are doing.
I was explaining to my son.
Clean
the,
up your
the
Facebook,
business,
guys. Your investors are watching.
I was explaining to my son on the weekend how we do stuff. He's like, you guys should be called creepy stalkers.
You know, so I just wanted to emphasize. See, so I come from a corporate background. You know, I've been an entrepreneur for about 5-6 years now. So, you know, coming from that background, you have a tendency sort of, you know, typically a corporate hiring revolves around how you hire people for lack of weakness more than strength per se.
We call it spikes. What are the spikes? We don't care about the what are the real spikes, and 2-3 spikes make up for weakness.
So at LimeRoad, there's a concept of benchmarking. So you benchmark the spikes. So there's one quality, where this person is top 10, maybe 15 percentile of the existing team. Because that is what pulls the team up every cycle.
So I'm Sana Vora. I'm the founder and CEO of The Wedding Brigade, which is an online content, e-commerce and services portal for Indian weddings. And I think I actually look at it a little bit differently. I first look at what do I not know? Right? I mean, going into a business, there are some things that I feel that I have a good handle on, some things I don't. And based on what I don't know, what my weaknesses are, I make hiring decisions.
So I have a question. I'm co-founder of Cup Shop, where we specialize in advertising over paper teacups and distributing it to different set of people. So when you did not have that much of funding, when you did not have, when you just had enough funding, so is there something which you did different that was something out of the box?
So this is the first year in and it's Diwali. Everybody in India is going berserk. Ye $1 billion day, ye day, wo day, khareedo aur khareedo. All of this is happening. I make a call to Avnish. And I say, I don't know if Avnish remembers this. I said, Avnish, I need to ask you a question. Everybody's going mad around us. Everybody is discounting the hell out of their P&Ls. I don't get this. Women don't buy all their clothes at Diwali. What will I gain by burning all this money and getting this high when I know that there is a lot of purchasing that happens throughout the year? What am I proving? So I have decided not to do it.
Okay. I said, thank God, I think something like
that. So we actually, we never used our P&L to discount, ever.
Founder-driven business versus a professional CEO-driven business. What do you think? Which, if there is a this versus that,
which side do you think I'm going to be on?
I'm not going to assume anything.
Let's make it simple. What are the largest market cap companies in the world? Apple Computer did it when the founder came back. Amazon, richest person in the world, founder runs it. Tencent, founder runs it. Alibaba, founder runs it. I think you get the idea.
There was a time when eBay had written Amazon off. I was in eBay in the UK at the time. It was going nowhere.
People don't know this. This is an interesting data point. eBay was $100 billion of market cap. Amazon was $22 billion or something.
Like that. And the narrative there was this is going absolutely nowhere. And Bezos came right back in.
Right.
And the rest is history.
You mentioned a lot of names of founder-driven companies, but then for each of those, there's also a Google, right? The founders were then replaced with Eric Schmidt, who really took it to a different level before those guys came back.
I'm going to disagree on that. The founders brought in Eric Schmidt. This is the only relationship, by the way, where they are still very close.
Right.
They said we need adult supervision.
Sure.
And I think the best founders, so Steve Jobs bought Tim Cook.
So I think there was a very tight coordination between the three of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's
absolutely
what's needed.
Yeah.
But the fact that they recognized that there was a gap and then needed somebody to come in.
I think the best founders do.
I think the first thing that we said when we started recording this episode was founders first, founders last. And if there's one takeaway from this entire discussion, starting from stumbling upon an idea, to the big mistakes, to creating an ecosystem and finding synergies with your investor, picking the right team or even a future CEO for your company. It is founders first and it is founder last. Thank you so much for sharing all these insights with us on Young Turks Masterclass. And thank you so much for spending time with us and joining us at the CNBC TV 18 studio. With that, it's a wrap on this edition of Young Turks Masterclass. Do tell us what you thought of the show. You can write into us, youngturks@nw18.com, or tweet us, CNBC Young Turks. That's our Twitter account. Remember that this is our special series, so we will be back with another edition with Matrix Partners and, of course, another portfolio company. Till then, from all of us here, goodbye and many thanks for watching.
The Young Turks Masterclass.